but in terms of membership of our portfolio committee, we have lost one member to cabinet. That is Honorable Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma.
Oh,
yeah. We will wait for the ANC to tell us what's the situation. How is the replacement? How is the ANC study group going to be configured now? We have called this meeting to focus just on one thing: the Department of Small Business Development is going to report to us on the National Local Economic Development Conference and the resolutions that were taken in that conference, including the transversal agreement that has been signed. The DG forgot the access card, so she is delayed in the visitor strength, so she can't get in this site without that. We will then take the apologies or Honorable Koga.
Ma'am, sorry, I did put up my hand while you were talking about the composition of this committee. And last meeting I asked a question about Dirks in this committee, and I was assured that he's only an alternative, and I see he's not an alternative, he's part of the members of this committee. And I really want to ask the whip yourself to speak to the speaker so that we remove him from this committee. His behavior is not the way that this committee members are, you know, we're not used to that type of behavior, and as I say, there's no place in my life of a person that hit women and behave like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. Ma'am, not that we condoning wrong actions, but I think this matter took place in the plenary when we were in the House. It did not take place here in the committee. But we are saying is whatever that happened, but we cannot also conclude in terms of what took place on the day, because it was just said, and we don't know the merits of what actually transpired on the day. But I would say, yes, we are not to condone wrong things, but let us not also, as the committee, because we are having what is it that we are to do as the portfolio committee, so we cannot be dragging ourselves into something that did not take place here in the committee, something that took place in the House. And I think that already the speaker was there, they witnessed everything. I think that maybe they are also maybe following that issue. Thank you.
Yes, no, it's a good thing for all of us to be concerned about good behavior, bad behavior. You know, that's a good thing. But Comrade Mthembu has covered me in the sense that we must be careful of jurisdictions. We must observe jurisdictions, because I don't think that it would be proper for us to enter into the space of the speaker. to enter into the space of discipline in the house. Should the matter have arisen in the portfolio committee, it was another matter. So for that reason, I tend to think that we will be making an error if we were to try to make decisions as a portfolio committee. Let's just accept that it's outside our sphere. Thanks, colleague chair.
I don't want to carry on with the point, but please let me just reply. Give me 2 minutes. First of all, last week when I raised this concern, it was said in this committee that we don't have to worry because he's only an alternative. Right, that's the first point. The second point, I don't play judge on Honourable Dirk's behaviour. I saw it with my own eyes. So my experience, what I saw with my own eyes and what the whole South Africa saw, I can't associate myself with that type of behavior. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to be comfortable if Honorable Dirks is sitting in this committee with me. And that's all I'm saying. So I'm asking the whip, and I don't want to be the judge over Honorable Dirk's behavior. I'm just asking the whip of this committee to rectify the position that was taken last week when he said, but it's no problem because Honorable Dirk is an alternative.
Can I come in here? I don't want us to waste a lot of time on an issue that is very, very clear in terms of where it belongs. Honorable Mabasa has explained. Firstly, let us go back to last week. Honorable Mabasa is the whip of the ANC component in this committee. He is the best person informed as to who is a full member from the ANC component and who is an alternate member. His response last week was informed by the information at his disposal as a whip of the committee. Honorable Mabasa is not responsible for printing the names on the paper to indicate who is a member, a full member, and who is not a full member. It is not the first time that we would have a person reflected here who is no longer serving in our committee. It's not happening for the first time. It has happened in many other committees because that is a process outside the powers of the office of Honorable Mabasa as a whip of the ANC. It's a process of a parliamentary committee section. And if the committee section is slow in changing the attendance register, the names that are appearing here, the ANC cannot be punished for that. That is the first issue. So there's nothing that Honorable Mabasa should be doing because he has given this committee information according to his knowledge as a whip of the ANC in terms of who is a full member and who is an alternate member. That then puts everything to rest. This issue today is raised again because the name of Honorable Desk still appears here. And it is again taken back to the ANC, which it's not supposed to be taken to the ANC. It's a matter of the committee section to put the name, to change this, to reflect the names of the members as known by their political parties. So it is a misdirected issue to the whip, the ANC, and to us to be discussing. It's an operational matter.
I'm covered.
But then, on the issue now of norms and standards, what Honorable Kruger is not comfortable with is something that we will all not be comfortable with. But it is something that did not happen here in this committee. It happened in the House, and it was not left hanging in the House. The presiding officer took it upon themselves that they will address that matter. So it can't be brought here because there's nothing that China we can do in relation to the behavior or something that happened in the House. We have no jurisdiction on that issue. So then, in concluding this matter, I would not want it to be brought up again in this committee, because even the sanction that has to be given to Honorable Deng would not be determined by us. And also, you see, it's very easy to say I cannot associate with so-and-so because so-and-so behaves in this manner. But I want us to live as human beings and just reflect. I know, Honorable Kruger, you are a Christian. You read the Bible. On a particular Sunday in the Mountain of Olives, a crowd brings a woman to Jesus Christ. He's busy teaching. He's teaching them about the laws. And they say to him, "You said you have not come to destroy anything. You have come to aid. According to the law of the Jews, a woman that is caught in adultery is stoned until death." And Jesus Christ says to them, "Anyone amongst you who has never sinned must be the first one to take the stone and throw it and kill this woman." And he continued to write what he was writing, expecting that a person who has never sinned was going to take the stone and throw it to the woman. And after some time, he realized that it was quiet. The noise that was there, it was too quiet. He stood up and looked around. He only saw this woman, no one else. Everybody had gone. And the reason everybody left, no one could be the first one to take the stone and throw it on that woman, is because no one among the people who had brought this woman to Jesus Christ with the intention for Jesus Christ to say this woman must be killed, no one amongst them had never sinned. The point that I'm making is that we are all human beings. We work in a very stressful environment. We don't know what happened, because even if you had seen through your own eyes, Honorable Kruger, you don't know what caused Honorable Deng to respond in that way. So let us leave it to the presiding officer. They will come back to the House and report about what happened, and give the necessary sanction if there is a need for a sanction. But let us not jump the ship and say this is how we are going to be reacting. If the ANC redeploys Deng as a full member here, we have no reason to say no because of what happened there, because we don't have the full story.
I'm covered, Madam Chair.
Sure.
Okay.
can we then move and take the apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, teaching and colleagues. Chairperson, I have received the apology of Honorable Chance, who is held up in Johannesburg for by-elections, and also have an apology for Honorable Mlaudzi. And also I did receive the communique from the Office of the Minister, who extended an apology, and also the Office of the Deputy Minister. I had those apologies in terms of the configuration of members. And then on our side also, it seems as if one has to pull some socks. Just an apology on the question of catering. Those people, they delayed, they said they didn't see the catering form, but they are preparing something. Apology for that. Thank you.
Honorable Mabe, followed by Honorable Bebo.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to members and the department. Chair, I would like to be excused about 12:30 for other engagement if the committee will still be sitting.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to everybody. I would love to be excused at 12 o'clock. I'm joining another committee. Thank you.
Can I ask to be excused at 10 to 12 at 12 o'clock meeting?
Thank you very much. Honorable
Kappa.
I would like to believe if our meeting goes beyond 12, I want to at least at 12. Thank you.
You have your hand up, Honourable Cook.
Yeah, Madam Chair, on a lighter note, I think we must finish before 12, otherwise it will just be me and you sitting in this corner.
Thank you very much. We'll try and finish before 12. Can we then give the department an opportunity to make a presentation as reflected on our agenda? But before we go into that, whilst they are still preparing themselves to make a presentation, there is a matter that is a matter arising from the previous meeting. The committee discussed the issue of the department, particularly the DG, as the accounting officer, missing important meetings from the perspective of the portfolio committee. And in deliberating that issue, it was then resolved that I would write to the minister and raise that issue with him. I did not write to the minister. We engaged, we talked about it. I was hoping that the minister was going to be here to give his side of the story. But what came out was that there is acknowledgement from the part of the department that the priority of the department, particularly the DG, is accounting to the to Parliament through the Portfolio Committee. A commitment was then made that even if the minister is asking the DG to stand in for her, she will find a way of communicating with the chairperson and get an understanding of the seriousness of the meeting. And if then a decision is arrived at that the DG stands in for the minister wherever and not come to the Portfolio Committee. A capable staff member from the department with full knowledge of what needs to be presented to the Portfolio Committee will then be deployed, not any person, but also the quality of what will be presented to the report, to the Portfolio Committee, should be the same quality that would have been presented if the DG was in front of the Portfolio Committee. It should not be a case that the department can send anyone, as it was the case when we were looking at market access, where we had to send the department back because we were feeling that what was presented to us was not meeting this, our expectations, and it wasn't presented by the relevant people who had to present it. So we have agreed there is acknowledgement from the side of the minister as a political head in the Department of Small Business Development. She committed that it's something that she's going to work on with the DG. So that's where we are. There's no more. There's not even more a need for writing a letter, because I also felt that it was better to discuss that verbally than writing letters.
Ma'am, I don't want to comment on your comments. I just want to get clarity about the agenda. The progress on transversal agreements, is that just about COCTAS and municipality transversal agreements, or is it transversal agreements with all departments in government? Because I'm a bit confused. I don't know what exactly the resolution of resolution 64 size, because remember they said they will send it to us, that tracking tool. So my problem is I don't know if it's about all transversal agreements or just COCTAS transversal or LED transversal agreements. Thank you.
Honorable
Mavas,
Madam Chairperson, I want to comment on the first issue that you raised, which was a matter arising concerning our DG. I think you have done well by engaging the DG person to person. Sometimes communication.
Pardon, Minister?
Oh, yes, by engaging the minister on the matter. And subsequently, you know, the matter was discussed with the DG. And I think the resolution that was taken on the matter is proper. And especially because the three of you, you know, at the end, ended up with a common understanding which you are articulating. With regard to the future, I would think that's how we should accept your report that you are rendering. You know, so I'm moving that we accept that report, especially because it progressively addresses the future. You know, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. for accepting the report. It's very, very important because sometimes we bring a report and if there is no response and the reaction, we don't know whether it's accepted or not. Or maybe there is still a feeling that that matter is not resolved. I think it's very, very important. It's a very important point to make. Thank you. Then on the item at the table, Honorable Program, you will notice that this first 3 months of 2018, the program of the Portfolio Committee focused mainly on bringing up issues that we need to get a progress report in terms of the resolutions that were taken, which were reflected in the tracking tool as red, which means the things that have not been done, which were supposed to have been done. We lifted those things up and included in that is the issue of the transversal agreement. Okay. Transversal agreement, which could be reached, the department can decide what is the best possible way of getting those transversal agreements and what informs them. Why are they being signed? Because transversal agreements are not going to be signed for the sake of signing a transversal agreement. They are going to be signed because there is a project or a program that requires participation of a number of stakeholders, which will be reflected in a transversal agreement. That is the understanding. Now, when we invited then the department to say, come and report to us on this item, transversal agreement, it is within the rights of the department to package the information in the best way that they think will make sense to us. Remember, in the past, we have been talking about, we've been debating, what is the transversal agreement, what is the bilateral agreement, and do we sign transversal agreements for the sake of signing transversal agreements, or we sign transversal agreements on the basis of a particular program or a project or collaboration that has to take place between different structures. So, also, we have been very critical to the department as a portfolio committee in saying, don't run all over. Your best ally in all departments is COP. Don't be all over, just be focused. Your best ally in all government departments is COPTA. What do you find in COPTA? You find the local economic development units within, located in COPTA. So, if then we have been saying that to the department, and we have been saying to the department, you are empowered by the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act to zoom into a municipality. We were also saying the IDP process and the integrated development planning is your framework, is your key policy again, which will assist you as a department to achieve, to get those structures that you require to commit on what is it that they will do in terms of what you want to achieve in the process of developing SMMEs and cooperatives. And my view is that if if what they are going to be presenting today is this, it talks about National Local Economic Development, LED conference. To me, it's the best thing, because it means instead of running around, they called those people together, discussed, had a common perspective, which then led to concrete resolutions and signing of transversal agreements by people who have a common understanding as to what is it that is needed to be done. Let us give them an opportunity to present, and then we will hear if there is something else that they needed to do. But when I received this, and when I was invited to this conference, I said to myself, I wish this had happened in 2015. And if it had happened in 2015, where by the time we went to local government elections in 2016, a motion would have been in place, and by now we would be having feasibility studies at what level, we would be having master plans attracting people to come and invest, because all role players would be knowing what is it that they need to do to assist small businesses. To me, this is a hallelujah. But let us wait and see what is it that they are going to be presenting. Over to you, DJ.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Thank you for the opportunity to come and report on the National Local Economic Development Conference. And we have, in this instance, linked our report on transversal agreements to the outcomes of the conference, because we have given a separate report just on the list of agreements, and as you've just indicated, all of those were not necessarily transversal agreements. Point page two.
For the first time, Jadidji, I want the committee to clap hands. Thank you. Well done.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, on and honourable members, the second page provides the outline of the presentation. I'm just going to introduce the presentation, and I will ask my colleague Lindon Kumani, the DDG responsible for this area of work, to do the bulk of the presentation. So we will talk, as all members had attend the conference. We'll give some background to the objectives, the theme, and the conference declaration. I believe we have sent a copy of the conference declaration to the committee, as we had committed previously, and speak a bit about our agreement with COGTA, and then the resolutions and activities, and that is where we will make the links to the transversal agreements. Slide 3, Chair, provides some background, wherein we say the mandate of our department entails the coordination of efforts towards building a strong, sustainable community of SMMEs and cooperatives to enable their increased contribution to economic growth and job creation. And that we, as municipalities, are critical sphere of government in driving this mandate and ensuring that radical socioeconomic transformation happens and is felt at that level, we initiated the National Local Economic Development Conference. However, in the spirit of the objectives of the Integrated Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, we invited the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs to co-host the inaugural National Local Economic Development Conference with us, and this conference took place on the 9th and 10th of November last year. The conference is positioned as a strategic platform to engage on critical issues with regard to stimulating local economies through the proper implementation of local economic development, which we understand to be the development or expansion of formal economic activity and employment at subnational or spatial level, a process in which partnerships between local governments, community-based groups, the private sector, and others are established to manage existing resources and to complement those to create jobs and to stimulate the economy of an economic well-defined area, and to focus on local control in terms of using the potential of the human, institutional, and physical resources in a particular locality. So we, as said, we initiated it, and the DGs, myself and the DG of COGTA, at the time, appointed a technical team to develop a concept note, which we in turn presented to our ministers, who provided strategic direction and approved the final objectives and themes and focus area of the conference. And we were thrilled because the conference was very, very well received and attended. The Minister of Cooperative Development, for example, stayed there throughout for the 2 days. Our minister and the Minister of COGTA opened it. Our deputy ministers were present. The deputy minister of COGTA in particular was particularly active. As you said, Chairperson, you were present, and so was your counterpart, the chair of the Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance, MECs, mayors, and what we were excited about also is that there were over 400 LED practitioners from various municipalities, from SALDA, and then there was also an interest from the World Bank and the National Planning Commission and others mentioned on that slide. It was a huge conference. So the main objective was to introduce and adopt a new and inclusive local government agenda for LED. Because it was almost to revive LED and get consensus around where LED should be focused, and to reflect on radical social transformation and its implication for stimulating local economies, and to explore, in fact, the question we raised was, why did the Back to Basics program initially exclude LED? And therefore, that's a very, very deliberate topic we put on the table, and therefore the conference sought to explore how the Back to Basics can be a tool for creating a conducive environment for economic development. And then there was also, on the first evening when we had a cocktail, there was an event of the Economic Development Council of South Africa. I'll hand over at this stage to my colleague Lindor. Lindor, will you take a photo? I'll close.
Whilst Lindor is doing that, I just want to ask to reflect, teacher, because we need also to learn from the mistakes that we make. When you first came, I had already presented to the Portfolio Committee in front of the department a model for development of SMMEs and cooperatives, which spoke to the Back to Basics document. And when I finished that presentation, everybody in this meeting said, these are low-hanging fruits. That document is still here in my computer. I thought at that time that there was a buy-in, there was appreciation that for SMMEs and cooperatives to develop, they also need to assist local government to achieve service delivery, because there is a challenge of the service delivery. There are potholes in municipalities. There are tall grass. There are schools with broken windows. There are schools with broken desks. There is a huge opportunity. That document was a very, very practical document. But then, that process could not take place because there was more focus on the separation of powers. Even if there is value to add. Take this model, it's already there, just implement it as a department. And it came from my experience of having been a deputy mayor, but that was totally rejected. We are back to that today. The point I'm making is that I hope we learn from the mistakes that we make, because we are in 2018 and that document was presented in 2014. We could have gone a long way today in addressing issues of service delivery through training using the money that is located in LG Zeta. Because when you train a person on how to repair a pothole, you are actually repairing a pothole. You don't train on another surface and then bring that person. You are using money that the department doesn't have. It's there in LG Zeta. And you are achieving three things. The skill, because you are skilling a person who has not been skilled. Two, you are facilitating the establishment of an SMME and a cooperative with a specific focus in terms of the sector. Three, you are providing a service and you are reducing poverty at the community level. So you will have the numbers, you can count the numbers of how you are going to actually get to the 9.9 million new jobs, because the municipalities, the services that are required at municipality level and the training that you are going to be facilitating is going to give you those numbers. So you are not going to sit in Pretoria and wait for the application. You are actually driving the process. You are informing the process because you understand what government wants to achieve. So I hope that we learned from that mistake and we will never repeat it again. Thank you. Can continue and present.
Thank you, Chair. The honourable member, the theme of the conference was positioning LED for radical social and economic transformation, and the areas of focus were looking at the National Development Plan, the Integrated Urban Development Framework, as well as dealing with radical social economic transformation and finding the role of municipalities in driving radical socio-economic transformation. Then on the next slide, these are declarations that were made at the conference and accepted by the attendants. They were read to all of them, inputs were made, and then this is... these are the final declaration. The first one is acknowledging the importance of achieving radical and inclusive socio-economic transformation in order to respond and meet the needs as well as the aspirations of local communities and accelerating service delivery. The second one, recognizing the vital role of enterprise development in LED in bringing about radical socio-economic transformation, especially in the achievement of inclusive economic development at local government level. Reaffirming the role that local government can play, as stated in the White Paper on Local Government, in promoting job creation and boosting the local economy by providing reliable basic services, reviewing existing policies and procedures to promote LED, and the provision of special economic services.
and recognizing the critical role that SMEs and cooperatives can play in the provision of good quality and cost-effective services, thereby opening new doors and opportunities for emerging entrepreneurs, and thus contributing to the reduction of high unemployment, income inequality, and poverty. And convinced that the dialogue between the public and private sector and multiple stakeholders is needed on issues relating to stimulating local economies. Believing in the importance of spatial transformation, including redefining the role of townships in economic development, and then recognizing the important role of science, technology, and innovation in extending economic benefits to marginalized spaces, creating new economic opportunities, developing competitive regions and enterprises, as well as enhancing inclusion of all in the fourth industrial revolution. And then noting that the youth is the backbone and the future leader to drive the economic growth and development of the country, and the need to reap the demographic dividend. Reaffirming the significant role of women as the catalytic agents of enterprise and economic development, and then guided by the mandates of COGTA and VSBD to provide support to municipalities in the creation and promotion of an enabling environment for economic growth and job creation. Resolved to adopt a new South African LED agenda aimed at contributing towards achieving radical economic transformation. And then the next slide talks to what the agreement between us and COGTA will entail. We are in the process of discussing and finalizing the MOU, and the conference assisted us in defining specific areas so that we don't just have an agreement for the sake of having an agreement. So those are the areas that are being discussed that are going to be covered in the final agreement that will be signed by the accounting officers. The first one is red tape reduction implementation, co-location initiatives, regulation and legislative review, LED strategies development and implementation, monitoring and evaluation of supported enterprises, because this is quite critical for us. I think we've learned in the past few years that we can utilize municipalities to assist us in ensuring that the investment that we make by supporting SMEs and cooperatives in local municipalities, they can play that role of monitoring and evaluating those enterprises and ensuring that there is development. IDP's development and assessment support, where we play a critical role in ensuring that whatever the municipality is planning, enterprise development is central. They can also provide the appropriate infrastructure to support the small businesses. Cooperative support in particular, recognizing the role of cooperatives vis-a-vis informal and SMEs. Local procurement implementation, which is quite critical for us, because we need to make sure that we keep money circulating in these local areas. So local procurement is quite critical, and we are prepared to assist jointly with COGTA municipalities to ensure that they implement this local procurement. Database development, which is also key for us, because we don't want people to always come up with excuses that they don't know who's offering a particular service or product in a particular area. So we need to have database of enterprises that are operating in these specific areas, and we are going to do that jointly with COGTA and ensure that municipalities have access to this database. Then going to the specific LED resolutions. So we've put, like the DG said, we've put the resolution, the activities that we are going to undertake with various partners, and the agreements that are going to assist us to implement those activities. The first resolution is ensure centrality of LED in the implementation of the Back to Basics program and integrated urban development framework. I think I don't need to explain this one further. I think the chair has also explained this one, that the second phase of Back to Basics include LED. So we're going to utilize SMEs, cooperatives, EPWP programs to implement the Back to Basic programs, identify specific opportunities or services that can be offered by SMEs and cooperatives. So now it's more about prioritizing local SMEs and cooperatives as well as informal businesses in ensuring that Back to Basic is implemented in these local municipalities. designation of these opportunities for enterprise targeting youth and women-owned enterprises, which is quite critical because we want to prioritize especially young people because I think they are the most people who are affected by unemployment. And then the second resolution is manage rapid urbanization and effect spatial transformation to stimulate local economies. We already have an agreement with rural development to implement the activities that are listed on the right-hand side, which talks to the us ensuring that business development services and economic infrastructure are brought to areas and spaces previously excluded by upscaling co-location. We think it's quite critical because some of the businesses which are supposed to be thriving by now, they are not thriving because they don't have appropriate support in terms of business development services as well as the appropriate economic infrastructure. So we need to make sure that we go to these areas, we provide these services so that they can also benefit from government support, promote access to information to business opportunities because sometimes you can have a business, but if you don't have access to information, you don't know what opportunities are coming up in that particular locality. Your business will not go anywhere. So the issue of providing access to information is quite critical for us, and we'll be utilizing these partnerships to implement that. Participate and influence municipal spatial planning and promote the role of SME development in integrated urban development framework processes. Because we don't want our SMEs to be surprised by what comes out with these processes, but so they need to make sure that there is participation from their side, and they play a critical role in ensuring that whatever is being planned around their localities, they have a say. The next slide is red tape reduction and addressing other inhibitors. This is very, very critical. We are implementing the red tape reduction guideline through red tape reduction guidelines, where we conduct workshops with municipalities and do assessments after the guidelines have been introduced. But we want to take it a step further. We had this partnership with COGTA and SALGA, but it's not formalized. So we want to formalize it and bring SALGA on board so that they can also assist us in ensuring that the culture of red tape reduction is something that municipalities always think about before they can introduce whatever regulations or policies in their localities. Red tape awareness is quite critical. This is what SMEs are always complaining about, especially at a local level. Assessment of red tape reduction, we want to upscale the assessment of red tape reduction guidelines and implement the recommendations of the assessments because we've received some feedback after the assessments were done. But it is critical that we jointly implement these recommendations, and some of the implementation it needs to be done by COGTA, for example, SALGA. So it's quite difficult for us to have this partnership so that we can take red tape reduction further. Develop simplified bylaws. I think it's something that came up strongly during the conference, that some of the bylaws are done or are developed are quite complicated for some of the informal businesses in particular and cooperatives. So we need to simplify this and speak to people in their own language so that they can understand the laws that are developed or introduced by municipalities. Streamline the standardized guidelines on development of bylaws. We all have to follow similar processes. SMMEs and cooperatives should not be surprised by the way we do things. We should have some standardized way of doing things. So we need to make sure that when we start the process of developing bylaws, SMEs and co-ops, informal businesses are on board, and they play their role because they are the ones who are mostly affected by these bylaws. Review applicable legislation that impedes SME development. This is quite critical because some of the legislation that is introduced is for good purposes, but it ends up creating challenges for SMEs. So we need to look at this legislation that exists and make sure that it doesn't affect our SMEs negatively. On the next one, addressing enablers to growth and development of small enterprises, we already have an agreement with Services CETA, for example, because they are also doing some work around entrepreneurship We will be working together with them in ensuring that the database that is being created at a local level, because it's the CSD, for example, the centralized supplier database, exists, but it doesn't go down to district and local level. So we want to make sure that this database that is developed talks to or even assist local municipalities to know who is operating in their local municipalities and what kind of services they can get from local local SMMEs and cooperatives. We want to make sure that we encourage SMEs to register on the database, utilize the database to for the promotion and upliftment of SMEs, cooperatives, and informal businesses. And then the next one is the clarification of role of local economic local government on radical socio-economic transformation. We know that whatever a business idea one has, you can only implement it at a local government. You need to go to a municipality to get to register the business, to get the zoning correctly, to register for services. So it's critical that local government understand that they are core in the implementation of radical socio-economic transformation. But we also want to assist them so they can understand the strength of their local economy, which sectors are competitive in the particular localities, assess and determine who owns what in that local area, identify opportunities for the participation of SMEs, cooperatives, and informal businesses, and create a framework for participation, monitoring, and evaluation. It's quite critical that whatever investment that is put there, we are able to go back and monitor and evaluate whether we are making any impact so that we can take the lessons learned to implement differently in other areas. And then the next slide talks about the implementation of the revised national framework for local economic development. There is an existing LED framework which was finalized, I think it's 2012, but there is a need for us to review that to incorporate, for example, the issues around the National Development Plan targets, radical socio-economic transformation. So we are in the process, together with COOPTA, of reviewing that framework. We should be taken to the political principles for approval, and then it must also go to Cabinet for final approval so that all government departments could be bound to this national LED framework. Agreeing on the roles and responsibilities towards the rollout of the LED framework, implementation of core pillars that speak specifically to DSPD mandate and function. Like I said, the existing one is very old, and DSPD did not exist by then. So it's critical now that one of the core pillars address our mandate and functions as the Department of Small Business Development Plan. Department of Small Business Development. Establish new financial arrangements for innovation capability and capacity building in local spaces. I think there is an acknowledgement that innovation is quite critical. We can't continue doing the same old things. Now we are working with Department of Science and Technology. We have an agreement with them. We want to take their programs to these local municipalities, making sure that there is support for innovation at a local level. Establish mechanism for accessing LED fund for innovation in collaboration with DST, because DST has a program called the Technology Platform Station, which are at universities for now. We want to take those technology platforms and make sure that local enterprises benefit from this. So universities should be responsible citizens. Wherever they are located, they should make sure that there is accessibility of this program for our local SMEs and cooperatives. Monitor and evaluate the local and regional impact of DSBD's funded incubators. This is quite critical because the incubators should not just be about numbers churning out, you know, how many SMEs through an incubator, but they should have an impact in the local economy. They should provide the economic intelligence and make sure that they support development of that particular local economy. On the next slide, strengthen the role of traditional leaders. I think there's an acknowledgement from especially the two departments that traditional leaders most of the time have not been playing that key role in the development of their local economy. So there is a need for capacity especially the National House of Traditional Leaders, which should filter down to the provinces as well as the traditional leaders themselves, to have capacity to assist in driving local economies in their areas, promote and support establishment of business oversight entities, encourage traditional leaders to participate in LED forums, which is quite critical because they are core and most of the resources of the particular areas are managed or under the management of the traditional leaders. They should have to be part of the LED forums. Whatever the municipality is planning, they should have a say and influence the LED planning. There is a draft agreement that is being discussed with the National House of Traditional Leaders in particular. They've been inviting particularly the minister to come and address them because I think they realize the role of small businesses and cooperatives in driving the local economy. Knowledge sharing on local economic development good practice agreement is quite critical because we normally criticize local municipalities, but there are municipalities that are doing well. In fact, during the conference, most of them shared their experiences on what they've done, both local and international best practice around LED. So there is a need for municipalities to share these experiences, and we're going to utilize the platform provided by us because Minister, for example, last year had a roundtable with universities where issues around entrepreneurship was discussed. So we need to utilize all these platforms to make sure that the best case studies or the best practice models are discussed and shared with various stakeholders. Then on the next one, saying dedicate effective and efficient support for SMMEs, cooperatives and informal businesses, particularly on education. We think it's quite critical that education should always be part of the process of developing or supporting business, small businesses in particular. Monitor the implementation of the National Skills Development Strategy as it relates to SMEs and cooperatives. Afford educational opportunities to employees of SMEs. We need to open up these opportunities so that there should be this continuous development and ensuring that the capacity of small businesses as well as the employees who are working in these local municipalities are able to grow And then the next one, delineation of roles and responsibilities between spheres of government on driving the LED. I think this is the issue that has been raised by municipalities, that various government departments, they come to them with different programs. So there needs to be that understanding, especially between ourselves, COGDA and EDD, on what role and how we can support. You know, we go there with good intentions, but we end up sometimes confusing the local municipality. So there is that need for us to have that, at least from our side, DSBD and COGDA, we've done some work in ensuring that we minimize this confusion. EDD, they were part of the conference in assisting the development of the LED strategies, restructure allocation of resources from national and provincial sector department to be allocated at local level so that resources that are available, the limited resources that are available from the fiscus, they filter down to the local level. Clear delineation across sector departments to address duplication and misalignment.
What is it? Did it change? What's happening here? 54. Phew.
Thank you. Let's take our members and try to conclude. Let's take our seats.
Let me just convey a word of appreciation of the team spirit that was demonstrated, how a team responds to an emergency. Well done in that regard, and we will get continual report as the clinic attends to our chairperson. It is Kubege Baba. Let's continue and see how far we can go. It will be good if we could be able to finish it holistically.
Thank you, Chair. I'm almost done. The other resolution which was raised at the conference was the issue of the LED fund. COGTA, when it used to be called DPLG, they used to have an LED fund which was utilized to assist municipalities after developing LED strategies, and then they will come with that fund to look at feasibility studies, to look at implementing or partially funding some of the projects that came out of the LED strategies. So the municipalities raised that issue that they don't know what happened to the fund. So this issue, we said, okay, as National, we'll take this issue ourselves, COGTA, and present this to National Treasury, but we still need to know what happened to the previous one, why was it shut down, before we can explore the establishment or re-establishment of the LED fund. And then the next one is increased collaboration between researchers and policymakers in the design and programs to address migration challenges. Here we believe that there is a lot of data that is available which is not being utilized. So we want to collaborate with researchers to look at issues around migration. Why are people moving? We know that it's jobs, but we need to also understand how is this also affecting the provision of services in those areas where people are migrating to. look at this relevant research, develop appropriate plan to address migration issues as they unfold in LED, engage with universities. I think we've engaged with a couple of universities already who are willing really to work with us with research. And then most of them, they're offering these services for free because some students who are there, they also need to do research. So they are saying they can collaborate and work with us around the research topics that we can come to them with. And then the next one is facilitate sharing of national and international models on good practices in developing and promoting cooperatives. I think there was a great realization at the conference on the role of cooperatives in particular in the developing development of local economies. So we said we'll utilize, for example, the International Cooperatives Day to share these best practices so that municipalities can also understand and explore new models of cooperatives. The next one is the Economic Development Council. We said we're going to support it because we're involved in the establishment of this body, realizing that there is a need really to professionalize the LED space. There are quite a number of LED officials who we believe are not appropriately qualified, so there is a need to really make this career one of the best to also make sure that everyone who practices as an LED official, they have the appropriate qualification, the experience and knowledge to drive the LED agenda. The next resolution is build and strengthen collaboration between local government, the scientific community and agents of innovation to foreground innovation in LED. We already have a partnership agreement with DST, we have an agreement with DSET, and we want to exploit this partnership agreement so that we are able to promote and advocate for the use of science and technology to advance LED, create mechanisms and structures to link science and technology providers with municipalities, because we believe that there are local technologies that are specific or designed for the particular local area that can be utilized to really promote local economic development. And then the next slide, talking about dedicating effective and efficient support for SMEs and cooperatives and informal businesses, particularly on education. We already have an agreement which was signed with LG CETA during the conference, which talks to the business development support for cooperatives, SMEs, and informal businesses. The agreement is being implemented as we speak, because we think there is a need to always provide more support to our SMEs and cooperative services. CETA, we are working closely with them. They are doing a lot of work around entrepreneurship in particular, so we've brought them closer to us because they also have some resources that can be utilized to support SMEs. So the issue of SME and cooperative development was really one of the top issues that were discussed. We were able to influence the agenda of the national conference to drive our mandate of developing SMEs, cooperatives, and informal businesses. And then on the last slide, here we're just talking about some points that we thought we should also bring to your attention, that, you know, municipalities are at the core of economic development and transformation. You can do whatever policy, whatever strategy, but if municipalities are not part of it, really you won't be able to achieve anything. More effort should be dedicated towards supporting this sphere of government. Sometimes I think we leave them to their own devices, so we should really dedicate support, sufficient support, as government to these local municipalities and ensure that they are able to play the role they are supposed to play in driving a radical socio-economic transformation. Also, closer collaboration with other government structures in supporting municipalities so that we can work together instead of us going there wearing our caps as different government departments, but we need to work closely together and ensure that we support our local municipalities. And we are saying on the next point, we'll drive the agenda of ensuring proper community economic development through strategic partnerships. We are willing as DSBD to drive this agenda and put our heads on the block and ensure that our municipalities are supported properly to drive this community economic development agenda. We depend on support and cooperation from other stakeholders as well, which includes the private sector, tertiary institutions, labor, faith-based organizations, because we know that they are quite influential in communities, and we're willing to partner with them in driving this agenda. Appropriate skills at the local government level is critical. Like I said, I think I'm re-emphasizing this point of skills at the local government is very important to us.
That concludes our presentation. And just on slide 8, the first line, I think we have a typo there which we apologize for. It should be believing in the importance of spatial and not special transformation. Thank you, Chair.
DG and your team for the input, noting the constraints of time that members have indicated. Let me note, members, who else is to be noted? Honorable Kruger, your floor.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the informative presentation. Chair, I just got one question and then one proposal. My question is on page 11. It says there in the activity side, the fourth paragraph from the bottom, strengthen the red tape reduction process through legislation. I'd just like to know what they mean about that. What is the, you know, what is the way of thinking? That's my question. And then on page 14, I just want to make a suggestion, proposal, that on the first block, the letter resolution, where we talk about traditional leaders and so on and their role to play, the agreement, I think we must also, we also need to have an agreement with Rural Development Department, because most of our traditional leaders are sitting in rural areas. So it's very important that we also look at rural development. But Chair, saying that, it's a bit, we don't know where is rural development going at the moment, because you know, after yesterday and you know, the debate in Parliament yesterday, it's evident that the government's program is about land reform. So if you look at that department, land reform and rural development, surely rural development is going to suck in the small spear behind what we would say?
Hunted,
yeah. So we need to strategize that rural development is coming to this department so that we can drive rural development. It's easy to say we must drive small business development through municipalities, but also rural development is about development of small business, because that's what the NDP say. And Chair, then the last question actually I want to ask is, LED, traditionally, LED was also, just one of those departments in municipalities that was on paper. And I didn't get the biggest budget either, because service delivery is a very important part of a municipality's mandate. So we need to some sort of have a strategy that we can finance LED, because there's definitely I know the municipalities I come from, there's definitely no money for LED, no money, because the need for service delivery is so big, and the need for other things in the department, you know, especially again on rural areas, there's no income. What is the income stream of rural areas? It's virtually nothing. So we need to have a strategy to finance and to capacitate LED departments in municipalities. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Ngabe.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. Chair, I think one at some stage must appreciate when someone has done something good. You know, we always criticize the department. But I think on this conference, according to me, was the most powerful and strategic thing they've done. I was going to say they should just leave whatever they are doing and concentrate on implementation, the implementation of this resolution. Because they are so comprehensive. They speak to everything we've been talking about in the department, I mean in these committees. And Chair, I would propose that at some stage, maybe we'll have to invite COCTA as well to come and commit on the implementation of this resolution on their level. Because we can push the department and say, implement this. But if the other partner, COCTA, is not also brought to the fore, we will not be able to achieve what we are talking about here. I'm also glad that I see it touches the traditional leaders as well, because sometimes there can be that delay of services when you go to rural areas. You call the people, you talk about cooperatives and this, but if you do not involve them, that thing might not work, because at the end of the day, they are the ones who are dishing out those pieces of land for those people. So that's why I think this time the department have got it right. But also noting what Honorable Kroka has said on issues of rural development as a department. But I think they will find us on the way. Let's continue to implement the resolutions while we are lobbying them. That was my contribution, Chair. I think we must say well done to the department on this one. But also we make sure that it does not remain the resolutions on paper, on document. Because I'm quite sure once we implement this, we will achieve at least 60-70% of what the department must do. Thank you.
Okay. Ntatem Ruti, Ntatem Shwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first comment is to endorse what my colleague has just said. What we have on paper is so impressive that it will make this the presence of this department felt. Because at this stage, people are asking a lot of questions about small business committee. What is it doing? Why don't we see anything? People are talking about seeing, not radio. So implementation, I think, is the key for us to change and to win the war against unemployment. Joblessness. My first question has to do with the time frames. So many good things that are going to be, that are planned. You have to create databases, you have to encourage small businesses, you have to utilize what we have, you have to determine the strength of local economy, and so on. Now, are there any time frames? Because if we look at the activities here, unless there are time frames, the next 2 years we still have them on paper. So I want to know whether there are time frames. And my second question has to do with something that is very close to my heart. You know, coming from the townships, you see your friends losing sparkle shops. Now, when we talk about local economy, are we including our guys in the townships? Because if we do, then I would say our local economies are lost, either to the malls or to the foreign-owned bazaar shops. The foreigners have obviously, whatever reasons, they have taken over. And we're talking about assessing and determining the ownership of local economy. Now, if we have to talk about the townships, very few indigenous people own businesses in the townships. And I would want to know whether the department has a strategy to reverse that so that our people can be empowered The third one has to do with the speech that was made by the Premier of Gauteng about the spaza shops. One of the things he said was they will visit spaza shops and send health workers there, hygiene is there, and the reaction from some people frightened me. People said that this is going to cause xenophobia to restart. Now my question is, when you have people obviously that are known to live in the shop, to wash, bathe in the shop, there is no toilet outside, something is happening within that same place. Now you ask the question, why is it not necessary for health inspectors to visit such places? So I want to know the position of the department on the question of visiting, of health inspectors visiting these spaza shops where there are homes and kitchens and toilets of the people living there. And obviously people cannot say, how do you know? Because we see them. They see that the cars are there. They are never out except when they are going to buy new stock. So what is the position of the department regarding health inspectors visiting these places to ensure that people are given food, are sold food that is hygienic? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Colleague Kappa.
Thank you, Chair. I didn't know that's my turn already. Chair, let me ask you to do me a favor. Just allow me to tell you about my short knowledge in biblical studies. Yeah, biblical studies, where it is said that when the Jews were tired of always being slaves everywhere, by Egyptians, by Medians, by Italians, by Romans during the time of Jesus Christ. But what was being highlighted is that when they're tired of this, they decided that when they are slaves, when they're told to pray gods of those nations, they took a strength and decided that no, all those gods were made by Jehovah their God. And that worked. Because if you enslave them and you tell them, pray here, this mountain is the God of this nation, it's okay, but it's made by our God. I want you, DJ, in your department, to take this approach that everybody who talks about local economic development, they talk about your area of small business development and cooperatives. It's in agriculture, it's in DDI, rural development, all what they are trying to do is your work, it's in your area. You can always claim and own that work. This is part of our small business development everywhere, I can assure you. If you take that approach, there is no one who will claim your ground and displace you, and you find that you are becoming irrelevant, whereas we are very, very relevant. It's important to try and occupy every space. But besides that, it's important that I join my colleagues in appreciating this work done, which is very, very important, which is, to me, it goes to that understanding that actually in the development of this country, the small business development is omnipotent. There is no way you can develop without it. Even big business will depend on the small businesses and cooperatives. They know that. So that is important. But I want you to improve this ability to occupy your space. One thing I'll ask you to do first is to, when you go through this document and establish where you have LED as something like an entity, as described by the Structures Act, the LED, capital letter L, capital E, capital D. But also remember, find somewhere where you will find
local economic development in small letters, where you must have it in small letters, because it means the development of the economy locally. That's where you are, which will not be owned by a municipality, but it will be. It will tell you that wherever you are working on development of the economy locally in that area, and that is where you are. So that even when we talk of the resolutions, we must always establish that this resolution, what does it mean to us? You must never, or we must never allow a situation where the work that you have done can easily be grabbed by anyone and run with it, which is always possible. Which is always possible. Because it is an area which works on the hearts of everyone. Everyone, every development is local somewhere. There is no one who is local, is not local somewhere. And therefore, that local economic development is always composed of this small business and cooperative development. Therefore, it's important always to find where do we feature as a department. You see, my discipline at school was systems methodology, where I would like always to establish where is my system. Is it part of the whole, or is mine the whole of the other parts, or is mine independent interacting with other systems? If you do that, you will never get lost. You will never find being someone taking your ground, because you know this is where I am. This one is mine. I belong here. I interact with this one, or this one is within me. But this one, you always must always know that with one, you'll always fight for ground. If you think your business development encompasses, including the development locally, you will always find someone who believes that LED is something which is big and encompasses even small development. So you must always manage that part, and don't agree or allow to be displaced. It's very, very important. This ground you've started to take, don't go back. Don't be discouraged. Take strength on this one, because it's going to take you somewhere a lot. Because this part, as we say, that all the small business and cooperatives are localized somewhere. And because that those institutions are not, the LED is not necessarily funded, but they have that authority. They are an institution. They have structures. They can coordinate everything and call it LED and own it. And that's what you should manage. But please, I want you to note this thing and always establish where do we feature. For instance, there's a resolution in talking about adoption on the resolution. Maybe I've lost it. Pardon? No, it's 8. It's 8, yes. Resolved to adopt a new South African LED agenda aimed at contributing toward achieving a radical economic transformation. We should always know that who adopts. Pardon? First line. Yes. Adopt a new inclusive local government agenda for LED. Somehow, this sentence, it tells that you are adopting on behalf of the LED, inclusive local government agenda. Whereas, if you say you are adopting a new inclusive local economic development agenda, small letters this time. You are adopting a new inclusive local economic development agenda.
it tells you that you are not selling away this to LED. You own it, but in the local economic development. Those are some of the things you'll find there, but this document can, it will keep on being refined and strengthened. But I can assure you, this is very important for us as a department to understand where we are and where we are going to and take all the strength. I think with those, I should just end there. But it's important with those, especially with the resolutions, that we always establish where are we, because it must never slip out of our hands and we find that the department is working for someone else. Take the ground, own it. Thank you.
Comrade Mamtembo.
Thank you, Chair. Colleagues have covered me in some aspects, but I would also welcome the presentation. It's very informative and very promising. It gives hope. But as Honorable Mwabe has said, it should not only be on paper, but there should be implementation. And we will be happy in the near future if we will get a report in terms of the municipalities since the conference, since from the conference that have started implementing. Because I don't think that they were only just attending that conference, but it was a conference that was also allowing them to start doing some work. I once received a request actually from my constituency by a municipal LED manager into saying there is a lot of confusion in terms of them doing their work, because like provincial we've got the Department of Economic Development and we've got cooperative governance, and it is a problem because they are required to be giving reports on two departments, and it's very frustrating for them because they don't know where do they belong. And so he was like requesting me that I should advocate for them that if it could be clarified where they are to be housed as LED in the cooperative or in, but I understand that this conference has tried maybe to clarify some of the things, and they'll be knowing where how to report going forward. There will be no more frustration. But the issue of them being skilled, you see, we are, how many years are we in democracy, and we've been struggling with this issue, not only LED practitioners, but in the main, the issue of people with relevant skills, it has to be emphasized, and it has to be ensured that indeed at the end of the day, we've got people with relevant qualifications that will assist. The issue of bylaws, our people are really missing. They are ill-treated. These bylaws are not in favor of them. But DG, going beyond the issue of bylaws, I once raised this. There's Yomal Dlamini who used to do amagwinya, your fab cakes. And today she's in a competition with your big supermarket that has made her not to continue to do what she used to survive on. We've got your Shisa Nyama. Today we've got big supermarkets that are also now in competition with our people that were surviving on doing that. So I understand that there are countries that have got laws in ensuring that these big supermarkets, what is it that they can be that they could be selling and not be selling? Because our people these days, you know, you find them, even the bylaws, they were selling at the taxi ranks, and some of the supermarkets just got closer to the taxi ranks, and then they took what these people were surviving on. And you'll find that having her packet at the corner of that shop, she'll be chased, you know, not in a manner that is also favorable or friendly. So these are the things that you are also to look at, that yes,
issue of bylaws, they are to be in favor, but also the competition that our people cannot cope with in terms of competing with your big supermarkets, without mentioning names, but we know that these supermarkets are now really doing what our people used to be selling, your Magwinya, your Mangolas, and your Achas, and today they have packaged them in a manner that is also difficult for our people to cope with. And another issue on the one that was raised by Honorable Kruger, when he was seeking clarity, mine will be, do really ensure that we've got regulations other than guidelines in terms of this red tape reduction. I will be appreciative of it if, you know, in a very close future, we will be presented with something that will be saying, now we are here, we are bringing this, we are to take it to the house for us to, at the end of the day, have something that will be really a regulation for our people to be assisted in the manner that they are to be assisted. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Mamtembu. I just want to check whether Comrade Begwa was to come in.
No, Chair, I wasn't, but I think you just asked me to say a word. Thank you. Let me just firstly appreciate your presentation, the DG and the department. I just want to speak on the recommendations. I think the recommendations are very important. But they always remain the recommendations if they are not implemented. Let's all agree that what Dr. Kappa has said, it will direct you as a department to implement, to take responsibility and be in charge of this resolution. I find it difficult, I understand that in most cases when you go to municipalities, there are resistance in other departments. But I'm not sure if COPTA was there, the municipality, you mentioned the mayors and the councillors were there. I think it will assist us, but what is important is to whatever you do on the ground, follow-up should be there so that these things should not remain as a resolution, but it must be implemented on the ground. But I think moving forward, looking at the resolutions, even if you are not here after our term is finished, I think it will assist the department. Really, you've done a good job, although we've been fighting along to find a way forward. But at last, I think this is important. Thank you very much, Chair.
Ma'am November.
Thank you, Chair. I can just say let the department keep it up and go forward, not just in paper, as everybody has said. Let's follow up whatever we have started, and the department that we grab to work with, let's work with that department throughout, especially COPTA. Thank you.
DG and the team.
Chair, thank you very much. All the comments it's appreciated. And as I'm sitting here and thinking, there've been only a few times this year that we've been able to almost demonstrate our ability to think and plan and do something that is on point. I think all of those are the things that we do in cooperation with others. and invariably it is also those actions that we take in implementing the resolutions from this committee. Our try and respond. I'll ask Lindor to speak about the strengthening of red tape, Honourable Kruger's first point. I think it's also raised by Honourable Temple. On slide 14, Honourable Kruger's comment when you said we should also mention rural development. I think earlier in the presentation, we do make mention of our agreement with the Department of Rural Development. And what we envisage eventually, because all of those departments were represented at the conference as well. Maybe I must go to the point, I think this is Mamthembu who asked about, or I think it's Honorable Meshu about the time frames. It is something that I have in insisted on, and we haven't presented that document because it is incomplete, but we are working towards an implementation plan with dates. We've indicated that we've got a draft agreement with COGTA, and attached to that agreement is an implementation plan with dates. The thing that slowed it down is that the DG I worked with leading up to this conference, Charles Nkwaila, retired at the end of December. So, you know, the new person comes in, and that person wasn't part of it. And now we've got a new minister coming in that has come in, and so on. So I think because it and we certainly, Honourable Kapa, intend to claim our space. I can also just tell Honourable Members, whereas LED used to be huge on the agenda of that department, particularly in the years when it was DPLG, but it is that has been reduced to nothing in COGTA. There is one official, I think, who's at the directorate level, at the director level. That is what LED has been reduced to in COGTA. They don't even have a decent budget. And so the issues that members raise around the resources for LED, etc., you will see that we have also raised that. In fact, the conference raised it quite sharply. And so besides COGTA not having money for LED, but they are in terms of mandate responsible for that. LED is captured in the Municipal Systems, Municipal Systems Act. Which COGTA is the custodian of. And so, therefore, I think this issue of the LED fund and where it resorts becomes important. So I think I've made comment to about this funding of LED. You'll see, I think it is slide 13. That one of the slides where I think the resolutions pertain to a new funding arrangement for LED, I think it's slide 13, establish new financial arrangements for innovation capacity building in local spaces and also the LED fund.
Chairperson? Before the DG leaves the subject, in answering the question, he says they're still working on the implementation plan that will have the time frames. Can we be given an idea when more or less it will be ready?
I'm pushing for the agreement to be signed together with having this implementation plan. With the dates, etc., before the end of the 31st of March. You will appreciate we've gone away a little way now. there's a new DG, acting DG, from the beginning of January, whom I could engage at the end of January 4th. Now there's a new minister who has to be briefed, etc. So I'm just, but we have said, and we know that the new minister is committed to LED. Our minister will certainly drive it from her side, but we've set a date for ourselves for the conclusion of it, the 31st. Or even if it is, these are the things that are within our control, which we will do by a certain time. Because there are some things that we can do, and we don't need the, shall I say, the authority of Foxton to do this.
Let me interrupt you briefly while Nomta is still here. Now, the feedback that we are getting from the medical area is that our chairperson is better, she's much improved, but now she is now going home, so that, you know, she can receive more care at home. I thought I should just give this update while... Nomta, tell the chairperson that the committee and the staff of the department are saying good luck to her.
And maybe just on something else, that some of the things I heard the concerns of members and the advice that we must implement, and to say that we are already starting with the implementation. For example, with the services CETA, our agreement is signed, there's an implementation plan, you know, and the LG CETA is, as the chairperson said, it is around the capacity building of officials. So there's an implementation plan that supports that. That implementation plan kicked off at the end of last year already. Our agreement with the services CETA on Friday? Thursday? Tomorrow, we're having the services CETA is launching an academy on entrepreneurship and enterprise development. The chair is supposed to attend that as well, and they've got very, very deep pockets. And so we we've developed a model with them on that training. So I think we understand our coordination function and things that are the mandates of other departments and which they have the budget for, they do that and we work with them on that. Chair, we've Honourable Kruger's question on the speech of the Premier of the State of the Province, the Premier of Gauteng. Well, we don't have a view on that. I mean, the
not
issue
my
of...
Sorry? Not my question.
A measure. Sorry. Honourable measure. It's health inspectors is, I think, it's a function that is located at municipalities and at the provinces. And I think it is the right thing to do, you know, to protect citizens where there's legislation around food safety, etc. In the same way, I think as the Department of Labor would deploy labor inspectors to various workplaces, etc. Honourable Dafa, thank you for your wisdom and your inspiration, and I think you were really saying just claim the space and also claim our mandate because our mandate was implemented long before we were established, and we must just claim the space and label it. When you mentioned your discipline of training is systems and systems theory, and so we too share that passion and understanding about, you know, this whole issue of the whole defining the character of the component parts, and we've got to determine, maybe not play a small role, but actually both be determining the components of the character of the components, but be the glue that connects everything together. Honorable Temba, I'm from my own handwriting here. I don't know, Linda, if you want to respond to the issue of bylaws, but there's a responsibility which the department, and I'm not shifting responsibility, Chair, but the responsibility of the Department of Economic Development is economic planning. A responsibility of the Department of Rural Development is rural development planning. So the planning of economic planning of spaces,
yes,
is an issue which the department, or which EDD, has taken on. For example, an issue that they're taking on now is the fact that malls are unregulated. And where malls get constructed, it is local governments who make those decisions. And it's not within our jurisdiction to make it. It doesn't fall with us at all. But I think that the issue of bylaws it's part of the things when we say we've got them to make the environment simpler and less hostile, because for SMEs, it's embedded in there. So I don't have an answer for you, but I think the Premier of Gauteng also made a similar, I think in his speech, there was a similar sentiment about the reduction, about how our SMEs are being sort of driven out or alienated from the spaces where they work and et cetera. And so I think the township revitalization strategies, it's not something we can do. The township revitalization strategies is something that that provinces have to drive, and we will work with them. Something that we will be doing, that we will be doing early in the new year, is Minister has worked very hard with the MECs for economic development. And they have said, we need our own structure, because even the MECs are saying economic development. Even though there's a DTI MINMEC, you know, there's an economic development MINMEC, but we need our own MINMEC, because those MINMECs have got a big business mentality. We need a MINMEC that just talks about small business. And more and more, as we're thinking about it and working towards it, we're thinking that it should not just be the MECs for economic development that must come to it, but probably the MECs for provincial government, for local government, so the thinking that we're having, maybe we should not be having a MINMEC in the traditional sense. Honourable members knows that there's this one structure, the Presidential Coordinating Council, I think it's called, committee, where the president meets every, I don't know, once a quarter or twice a year, with premiers, SAUGA, and mayors from metros. But maybe the small business structure should be a substructure of the PCC. So you report right into the President's Committee, because it is cross-cutting. So I think that those are the things that we are working with, but we will claim our space. The regulation, maybe you can take the regulation, whatever I've missed, Lindor.
Just to follow up on the bylaws, you know what, there's so many bylaws still governing communities of municipalities that's actually still belonging in the apartheid area. And municipalities, and that's a big problem. Municipalities didn't go and do the effort to go and look at their bylaws. Some of the municipalities don't even know they got bylaws. So, and some of those bylaws was written by stupid apartheid agents, and it still are there that to stop, you know, and hamper small businesses. And most of, you know, our security forces in municipalities also are still thinking in that line, because, you know, we will see that our informal business will sit on a corner of a street, and whenever it fits them, they will come and just chase them away and take their stock, you know, which I don't say we must just live in a city of chaos, but surely we must start looking and shape those bylaws so that it can be of benefit of both the residents and small business for everybody. But spatial planning is a big problem. Thank you.
Continue. Indo.
Thank you, Chair. And I think Honourable Mam Tembu, she already started answering that question. What we are looking at is the guidelines that we currently have, they remain the guidelines. Some municipalities, they have an option of not implementing them, even though they invite us to come and discuss and workshop them on these guidelines. So what the department was considering was, as part of the National Small Business Act review exercise, put this as part of the, like, minister can issue regulations to all municipalities that they shall do a red tape reduction, so that it can be an enforceable instrument rather than just being guidelines where people choose either to go for it or not to go for it.
The issue of there's so much outdated legislation which we are really challenging our counterparts on. For example, we were working on a business rescue strategy for small businesses, and as we did that work, we found that the applicable legislation, the Insolvency Act, is a 1938 Act.
Oh,
you know, I agree with you.
Yeah, let's. I just checked with the secretary that finishing this item should be the end of our meeting. Let me thank you. But in thanking you, let's also welcome our former deputy minister, but also our former member of the PC. You know, so that we say to her, welcome home. They say once a Buccaneer, always a Buccaneer. So it's good because this is your home. So you don't have to worry. But the great thing, November, is that the experience that you gathered at the executive is going to be gold to us. So that your view is broader than when, you know, while you were here. So that's going to arm us, so that when we tackle the DG, and the minister, we are more reinforced. So we will keep you informed. The secretary will also check how our chairperson is going, is proceeding, and then you shall be kept informed. But meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Chairperson?
Yes, Baba?
Yes, may I have a question, please? If I can turn to, I just want to interrupt. Why is it so difficult to get members? Because I have questions that I need to be answered. and asked two members, I asked Kruger and the ladies, in fact, like I gave them a question to ask on my behalf. In fact, like, and they don't ask, and they don't do it, you know.
The question is targeting, is it targeting the portfolio committee?
Yes, in terms, because I have a master's in management, so et cetera, but I'm also a journalist, but in fact, but there's nothing to do, in fact, because I'm, in fact, we have a youth organization in the township.
Okay.
Youth
okay.
Achieving Necessary Skills Foundation.
Okay.
So we're trying to implement skills to our young people. So
no, then in that sense, don't worry. When we adjourn, you can approach any member here, but because the chairperson is not here now, you can approach me if it regards the portfolio committee broadly. But if it pertains to other members, you're free to approach a member and ask a question. And in a spirit of openness, we shall communicate, you know. So for a start, as we disperse, please come and join me here.
But it would have been a good thing, in fact, like if the reporting would have answered it, because it's exactly who is the young people in the township.
Can we say we have closed the meeting?
I just want to follow up on the question or on the statement. It's not procedure to ask questions, you know, or to give to MPs questions to ask in this committee. I mean, I'm here representing a constituency out there and representing my party. So it's not procedure for me to ask questions from whoever.
No.
So please
cover us.
Yeah. So
you have covered us, I think.
Yeah,
let's close
you.
It on that note, Honorable Kruger. Thank you very much. Baba, unyeza napa sizo ukuthi.